not sure if you're looking at numbers that show decrease, because I'm not sure that we've experienced a decrease, at least in the last couple years, maybe slightly. But some perspective may be that we've changed things a lot over the course of time, you know, and at one point we used to say, refer every single client who was 14 or 16. Now it's closer to 16, but they could come in at 14, regardless of whether they wanted voc rehab or not. So our numbers were very inflated back then, because we ended up closing out a lot of people because parents indicated they don't want VR services. Why are you referring my child? You know, so we've changed that a bit, you know. So if individuals, particularly the parents when they're in, you know, in school, you know, being their guardian, you know, they're not interested in voc rehab, they are not referred to voc rehab. So that could be the reason behind that. So the numbers may look inflated, but it doesn't really change the number that we're actually pursuing voc rehab. For a while, we were closing out people left and right because they were not interested. They weren't, you know, the parents didn't want it, the client didn't want it, and, you know, they weren't appropriate referral, because there are a lot of individuals in children's services that have multiple disabilities, medically fragile, just a lot of various, you know, a lot of different reasons behind why they're not a good candidate for voc rehab. But then again, it doesn't mean that they can't come back, you know, at some point. So,
Al, this is Chris. I just wanted to get in, because I know we're short of time, and provide the adult services perspective on these three topics. So first of all, as regards the low vision piece, I do have somebody in the adult services program with substantial knowledge of the importance of low vision services, how some of the business realities of trying to get doctors to participate. And he and I have been meeting. At present, the committee is you know, comprised exclusively of supervisory level personnel, but I'm working to get more ideas from, you know, this adult services person on how we can improve expand the number of low vision doctors is what I should say. So we can certainly keep you posted on our progress there. Secondly, referrals to BESBE. So I would say that right now we're getting, you know, our referrals are coming almost exclusively, and, you know, appropriately so, from optometrists and ophthalmologists. Quite a number of clients, especially in the adult services program, are self-referrals for repeat services, which is you know, very much something that we try to encourage our clients to engage in, is self-advocacy when they develop new issues requiring the assistance of BESBE staff. And thirdly, I think the third point that was brought up was technology services for older adults. This especially for adults who are looking for assistance with computers as well as smartphone training, and are not motivated to continue to pursue competitive employment. So we did, I think at the last meeting in which I reported in depth, I mentioned that we were fortunate that that Commissioner Porter had agreed with our request to reclassify one of our position vacancies from what would have been a fourth orientation and mobility instructor to our first ever rehabilitation technologist in adult services. So that we were able to get that position reclassified, and it was sent on to the Department of Administrative Services, I believe about 6 months ago. So we are still waiting for that to be posted. we're extremely hopeful that it'll be posted soon because, you know, we are certainly experiencing an uptick in the number of clients who are looking for technology assistance that is beyond what our current rehabilitation teaching core can provide. We're also a little bit short in the rehab teaching arena after the retirement of a longtime incumbent, Rick Anders, at the end of June. So both of those positions that we're looking to fill will help, as we see it. One of those positions would focus strictly on technology training, which historically at BESBE has been a one-to-one endeavor, whether that's a VR technologist or a children's services technologist. It's been individualized instruction, and we contemplate that VR model going forward initially, and we'd be looking to see if we can perhaps collaborate with some of our internal and external partners. I was looking at the achievement through technology newsletter that Arlene Lugo of Tech Act just put out earlier this week, and we would want to be collaborating more robustly once we do have our program in place and our program up and running with Arlene and some other community partners. So I just wanted to hit those several points, those 3 points in the last 3 minutes before I get off. I don't know if there's any questions, but I'm certainly happy to entertain them.
Steve?
No, I think you've given us all overviews so that we all can appreciate what's happening and how we may be able to help on this advisory committee. So thank you all for that.
Great. Yep, great. Thanks, Steve. And Mary, Catherine, and Chris, I thank you all for giving us some very helpful presentations on that. And we'll use that information to inform our decision making and maybe do what we can to lend a hand excuse me on these most important topics. In the interest of time, I'd like to move on with the agenda right now, and let's go to the budget update. I'm going to give this one and the next item, legislative update, to Andrew and see if we can get a brief presentation on those.
Well, I would like to start. First of all, I want to thank Catherine, Mary, and Chris. We did go over those questions that were submitted, and as a team, we hashed out different ideas and also some joint analysis of the situation, and that's why you got to hear them speak so well on the subject, because we did work on it. As far as the budget goes, I mean, we've got the money that we need to keep providing the services that we do and to pay the staff that we do. You know, we're almost halfway through the state fiscal year. We are in a situation because of the down economy, the COVID economy, that we aren't able to spend all the dollars on the vocational rehabilitation that we historically have because there's so much less activity. So that is a challenge that's in front of us. But regarding our other programs and VR, we're moving along and getting done what we can get done. With COVID, we can't get everything done, especially in the area of employment that we might like to. But you know, Mary's staff works hard at doing everything they can in spite of COVID. But there just are some life limitations that disease puts on us, like it does the entire world. And so the budget is stable, and in a couple areas may be underspending because of the COVID situation. The legislative update: this next year, ADS, Aging and Disability, does not have a legislative package it's putting forward. I will say that there is a work group that's working on some issues regarding deafness that are putting forward some topic areas, and we're engaged with that. You know, last year, 2 years ago, we put in a bill to do some cleanup language. It didn't get passed because the legislature shut down 2020, but they passed our bill in 2021. And so we got done what we needed to get done. So this year, we will more be in a position of monitoring the bills that get put in. This is this short session coming up. It's only 3 months long, traditionally, and so legislators aren't as free to submit any type of bill that they might like. They are supposed to be about budgetary issues. They don't always hold to that rule, but there won't be as many bills as there are in the odd-numbered year, but we'll be watching and reporting back to you. So it really isn't much of a legislative update to give you. So those are my, and then you have COVID updates and safety protocols. We're still wearing masks in the office and advising our staff to be distant and to be masked when they're coming into close contact. So we have, there's been some tweaks in the policies. People are getting out there more since the summer, more than they were for the first 15 months of COVID. People are a little bit less nervous, but as you all know, nerves go up and down with whatever new Greek letter variant there is of the COVID virus. But we're still doing what we can, and there aren't that many people coming into the office. A lot of people are teleworking. So, you know, if we have someone who gets COVID in the agency, very often they haven't been in contact with any coworkers. And we don't have to go into any shutdowns or protocols. But even if in the office someone might have contracted it, they probably didn't get it here, they got it somewhere else. But we could generally say, oh, well, actually, I wasn't really near anyone. I wasn't within 6 feet of someone, or I was masked, and it was only for 5 minutes. And so in general, we don't have to pull the fire alarm when that happens. So I'm happy to entertain any questions on any of those three topic areas, but those are my brief reports to you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Andrew. Any questions for Andrew? Hearing none, let's move on to points to the good and welfare. I do have a few comments I'd like to make, and I would like to ask that these particular comments be included in the minutes, because what I would like to do is, consistent with the bylaws, I'd like to establish a bylaws work group. And to that work group, I would like to invite Steve, Catherine Guzman, and Randa Utter to join me on that. And I would like to ask Steve if he could be coordinator of that group, setting up meetings and whatnot. And we will. I'd like to present that for the, I'd like to have a presentation ready for the March meeting from the committee for the advisory board with regard to updating our bylaws. I asked Andrew to send a copy around to everybody, and I think that has happened. So I would invite you all to review the bylaws, and if you have any changes you'd like to suggest, get in touch with any of the four of us with regard to what you would like to do. And those of you on whom I sprang this assignment, please let me know if you'd like to decline the assignment. That's perfectly fine. These are all voluntary work groups, but I would hope you could join me and we could come up with a package for the March meeting, and if that's not possible, certainly the June meeting. In addition to that, I would like to consider for the agenda on the March meeting work groups on tech and the workforce, and also on transportation. That doesn't necessarily need to be three separate work groups. We could consolidate some of them, but I would like for this board to begin working on those most important topics. That's all I have for points to the good and welfare, and I'll open up the floor to any others who have points to the good and welfare.
I'll just quickly say I resent the bylaws to the full board so people wouldn't have to go looking for the last time I sent it. So it just got sent to you all again.
Excellent. Thanks, Andrew. Any points to the good and welfare? Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Currently, I'm muted. Oh, what's the name, bud?
This is Andrea. I so motion.
Do we have a second?
This is Randa. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, very good. We stand adjourned, and I look forward to seeing you all in the spring, and some of you sooner.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy New Year.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.